May what I speak, may what you hear be in the name of the God of love, who creates, redeems, and sustains every single one of us. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, let me begin by saying it again. Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas. It's really great to have you all here this morning. Christmas, I sometimes think, Christmas is like one enormous, gigantic time machine. Don't you think? You know what I mean? It takes just the smallest little things at this time of year to transport us back over the decades. It could be, for example, a certain Christmas smell that does it. The sweet aroma of mulled wine, perhaps, or the piney, if that's a word, the piney smell of a fresh Christmas tree in your living room. These smells have the power to transport us. For others, perhaps, it'll be a certain Christmas taste that whisks them back over the years. Perhaps the taste of turkey stuffing, the way your mother used to make it. Or perhaps the unmistakable, mushy loveliness of overcooked Brussels sprouts. Yum, yum, yum. Perhaps that's an acquired taste, though. I don't know. Or for others of us, maybe it's a certain sound of Christmas that turns back the years. The opening bars of Once in Royal David City that we just had. Or the descant on O Come, All Ye Faithful that we'll have later. All these Christmas sights and sounds and smell have the power to roll back the years and return us to other times and other places. They transport us back to Christmases past. They transport us back to memories of loved ones. Many of those loved ones, sadly, no longer with us. Those sights and sounds transport us back to a time when life maybe seemed simpler and less complicated. And you know, in an international, multinational, multicultural congregation like here at St. Edmund's, we have 30 different nationalities on our membership list. 30, 30, and growing. In an international congregation where many of us, not all of us, but many of us are far from our native lands, far from home, recalling those memories, keeping those traditions alive is very, very important, absolutely. And so while we must, of course, always be careful about rose-tinted nostalgia and sentimentality, maybe at Christmas, we can be allowed a little bit of those. This, after all, is the time of year, above all others, when we try to live as we would wish to live. Yeah, we try to be our best selves. We try to be fully human with each other. This is a time of year when we try our best to spread good old-fashioned values. Values like peace and harmony and goodwill towards our fellow women and men. And while I certainly don't want to put a dampener on all those warm feelings and good cheer, I do want to share with you the results of a rather fascinating, if slightly disturbing, survey, Christmas survey, I've come across. I think it's very instructive. Listen to this. Researchers in the United Kingdom have found that the average group of family or friends gathered together at this time of year, the average family or group of friends, have a total of 5 rows. 5 arguments on Christmas Day. I'm telling you this now so that you're forewarned for later on. The first of these 5 rows, the researchers tell us, happens at 10:13 a.m. Which is good news, I guess, in that you may already have missed it. Or maybe it happened on the way here. That first row, by the way, is over who will prepare what for the day ahead. The next row, argument number two, will be at 12:42, when it seems many of us will have a good old moan about the presents we received not being the presents we really wanted to receive. Round number three happens sometime between 1 and 3 p.m. A little vague on this one. Sometime in the afternoon. And this argument is caused by the man of the house having too much to drink, while the woman of the house is stressed with cooking the dinner. Some nods of recognition. Round number four happens at 6:05 precisely. Don't know how they know these things, but round number four is at 6:05, and this is the fight over the TV remote control. Sounds familiar. And the final row, round number five of the day, will happen at 10:15 p.m. Once all the wine has been drunk and the last mince pies have been munched, tempers will flare just before bedtime. Happy Christmas indeed. Well, that survey is a bit silly, isn't it? But it is a good reminder to us that if the message we've come to church to hear, the message of Christmas, the message of God with us, if that message is to have any relevance to our lives, then it needs to speak into that kind of reality. It needs to speak into our reality. The reality of people like us, striving to do our best, but often falling short. The reality of people like us who have hopes and happiness sometimes, but also have loss and fear. The reality of people like us who feel drawn to something bigger, nobler, truer, more mysterious than ourselves, drawn to God. And yet so often we don't know how to speak about the meaning of that longing. Well, if any of that rings a bell with you, then let me tell you, you are in the right place this morning. You are in the right place this morning because this is where we hear again the Christmas story of how God, often described as all-powerful, almighty, all-conquering, this is where we hear the Christmas story of where God is also to be found in vulnerability. God found in the vulnerability of an unmarried young girl about to give birth to her first child. The Christmas story of how God is also to be found in insecurity. The insecurity of a family forced to go door to door to door in search of lodging, in search of safety. And most of all, Christmas is when we hear again how God is also to be found in fragility. The absolute fragility of a newborn baby. Utterly defenseless. Utterly exposed. And it doesn't stop there. Because here today, once we've listened again to that Christmas story and begun maybe to take it in a little bit, we'll also share bread and wine together. We'll share Holy Communion together. We'll remember how this God in Jesus, this God born in a stable, how this God didn't hold anything back but poured out his life, like the wine will be poured out his life in love for others. And we'll remember how this God in Jesus, did not shield his heart, did not armor plate his heart, but like the bread of the sacrament, allowed his heart to be broken open in compassion for others. You see, that's the message of Christmas. That's the extraordinary, rather shocking message of Christmas. Christmas says, in essence, tear up everything you might previously have thought about God, because it's probably wrong. Christmas says, forget about God as simply up there or out there somewhere. From now on, God is here with us. From now on, God is likely to be found in the most unlikely of places. a stranger's stable, a sinner's table, or on an outcast's cross. From now on, God will be found not so much with those who have it all together, they don't need him, but with those who are broken, broken and afraid. From now on, there is no single one of us that this God in Jesus will not love the hell out of. Love the hell out of us, if only we let him. In short, at Christmas, God in Jesus Christ becomes fully and truly human. And if we keep telling the stories, if we keep sharing the bread and wine, if we keep opening our hearts, then who knows, through the grace of God, we might become fully human too. We might. So enjoy today's celebrations. Watch out for round number 2. It's due at 12:42. And have a happy Christmas. Go Yule.